Blog Talk Radio.
Revealed by CNN News. It's not just you. Airports really are getting busier. Close to 104 million passengers passed through Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport in 2017, making it the world's busiest passenger airport for another year. That's according to preliminary 2017 data released Monday by Airports Council International. Globally, there were significant increases in passenger numbers, cargo, international freight, and total aircraft movements. With flight routes this busy, it's surprising we can see the sky at all. See more on newsletter online January-June 2018.
Breaking news number two, a new train system for Los Angeles International Airport, and this is by airportsinternational.com. The Los Angeles City Council unanimously voted to approve a 30-year, $4.9 billion contract with LAX Integrated Express Solutions, known as LINXS. And this is to design, build, finance, operate, and maintain the automated people mover, ATM, train system at Los Angeles International Airport. The approval was announced April 11th, and it marks the largest contract ever awarded in the city's history. The item was heard at the Los Angeles City Council's Trade, Travel, and Tourism Committee meeting, which was April 10th, and it was unanimously approved. Mayor Eric Garcetti said, quote, making LAX the most passenger-friendly airport in the whole world means giving travelers what they need and have been asking for, reliable, convenient transportation to and from the terminals. This historic investment will ensure that LAX is seamlessly connected with communities across the region. And you can see more on newsletter January to June 2018.
RAU Crash Investigates Focus on Wingspar by Joy Finnegan. The NTSB and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University officials are working together to determine what caused the PA-28R-201 wing to fall off in mid-flight. The resulting accident killed two. Zach Capra, an ERAU student, and the FAA-designated examiner John Azenzer, who was conducting a check ride. Flight training resumed on Thursday for all aircraft at ERAU except for the PA-28s. The remaining grounded until inspections are completed. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports that witnesses, including air traffic controllers, said the aircraft's wing, quote, departed the aircraft, quote, causing it to spin out of control and then slam into a field about a half a mile from Daytona Beach International Airport. You can see more of this in the newsletter January to June 2018. Over to you, Chuck. You got a good one.
Nanchuck.
By Rob Wiley, Miami Herald. Jetson family, take note. One Miami developer is now preparing for flying cars. Don Costa, CEO of Royal Palm Companies and developer of the Paramount Miami World Center complex downtown, says he is retrofitting the Paramount roof for a future which includes an airborne personal transportation. It's not a question of if, but when, Costa said. See the video and more on newsletter Jan-June 2018.
Hello, Eastern family. It's great having you with us tonight. My name is Neil Holland. Along with our other hosts, we want to welcome and thank you for listening and calling into the show. You have made us Eastern's radio voice of Eastern Airlines. We'd love to hear your comments and share your memories with radio listeners from around the world. If you haven't called the show before, all you have to do is call 213-816-1611 and just say hi or hola. Buenos dias. Como esta? Bonjour. You talk with us on the air. Live. We'll see if we can find an interpreter if we need that. You know, we can identify many countries around the world who listen in with our Blog Talk Radio application. Isn't it great that we can keep the Eastern legacy going out to not only the Eastern family, but to listeners from many different countries? That's what we try to do every week on the EAL radio show. Won't you join us by adding your voice to these broadcasts? Our thanks also to those who choose to listen by computer using the radio icon on our homepage at www.ealradioshow.com or perhaps by signing in at the site of our provider, Blog Talk Radio. You can reach Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. That's CAPTEDDIE. Should you, too, wish to talk during our broadcast, feel free to use our calling number 213-816-1611 at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Let me repeat that number so you can write it down for your Monday night visits. Tell your friends about us. It's 213-816-1611 at 7 p.m. Our lines are always open for calls, and if you choose not to participate and talk live with your host, we ask you to please mute your phone as our producer, that's me, does not have the capability of filtering background noises. So that's okay. Just jump aboard, grab your phone, and start talking. We'd love to have you on our show. Now, let's see if we can get Flight 361 in the air.
Great silver fleet.
We are on the floor of the World Airline Historical Society's 42nd Annual Convention.
Hi, Don. Pearl is on the showroom floor.
Yeah, Chuck, I only need to look for one expedition, which is Eastern Airlines. Let's look around first and see if we can find where Eastern is. I don't suppose you'd like to look at the Pan Am section also, right? Didn't you work for them before you came to Eastern?
Sure did, Don. Yeah, maybe there's a few things I can find there. And, too, did you see where the girls went?
I think Dorothy and Linda are both looking for the flight attendant displays. Maybe they want to get outfitted and sneak on board and work a flight. I'm sure Linda remembers all the announcements.
As the two guys browsed the vast aisles at the World Airline Historical Society's convention in search of their airline's memorabilia, we find the two former flight attendants searching the racks of their favorite airline, Eastern Airlines, no doubt.
Dorothy, look what I just found. This is the uniform I wore when I was a flight attendant for Eastern Airlines. Dorothy, it looks almost new. Hey, I'm going to tell Esther. I bet I can still fit into it.
Don't you still have your original uniform, Linda? I have mine, although I haven't checked it in years. The moths have probably eaten most of it by now. I would like to check on some glasses and silverware and crystal we once served on those famous restaurant meal flights.
Yes, Dorothy, let's go looking. I have a few pieces when guests do come over, but I want to check out the drink glasses. It seems like I never have enough. Let's go.
Hello, Eastern Airlines. My friend Steve Makinich and I are glad to be here with you on the show tonight. Thanks for inviting us. If this is your first time hearing my voice, as I've been a guest host on several past episodes, here's a brief bio and why I am here tonight. I've been a commercial aviation enthusiast from early childhood. I first joined the World Airline Historical Society, or WAHS, in 1983 at age 15, and in 1987 was co-founder of the Tri-State Airline Historical Society in the New York area. The following year, I began the first airline collectible show held in the New York area, Airliners Northeast, at Newark Airport. And I was later co-chair of Airliners International when it was held in Newark in 2010. I have written feature articles on U.S. airline history for a number of magazines, and am an editor for the Captain's Log, the quarterly journal of the World Airline Historical Society. I joined the staff of the Aviation Hall of Fame and Museum of New Jersey in 2001, and since 2006 have been the museum's executive director. My latest project is the Commercial Aviation History Consultancy, devoted to fact-checking and research for commercial aviation history projects in every form of media. Oh, and by the way, while I study and collect from several airlines, numero uno for me is Eastern. As for why Steve and myself are here tonight, it is to tell you about both the World Airline Historical Society and our Airliners International Convention coming up in D.C. in July. So with that, let me introduce our co-chair for that convention, Steve Makinich. Steve, if you'd like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you, Shay. So my name is Stephen Makinich. I am the co-chairman for this year's 2018 DCA show, July 11th to the 14th. And a little history on me, I'll be the big 4-0 on July the 7th this year. And I have been into aviation since I had been a little kid. Thanks to my mother and my father for getting me into this. I have been on so many planes and have been a huge enthusiast my entire life. I am on the board of directors for the World Airline Historical Society, have been since 2016. I have been to, this will be my 12th Airliners International show this year, and I have five wonderful children, some of them which are also junior members of the World Airline Historical Society. But it gives me great pleasure to be on this show, and I thank everyone. And yes, I was a big fan of Eastern Airlines, especially the L-1011, when I would fly from Washington Reagan's National Airport back in the 80s. I remember that as one of my first flights with my mom and dad. So, but with further ado, I appreciate you, Shay, and we'll go on from there.
Okay, well, here's a short history of the Airliners International Convention and the World Airline Historical Society, as recalled by our friend John Proctor, who was there at the beginning, early in 1977. The late Paul Collins, founder and president of what was then the World Airline Hobby Club, decided to have a little get-together, a loosely organized fraternity of airline and airliner enthusiasts. The two-year-old club was informally held together by its quarterly journal, The Captain's Log. Collins sent out notices and advertised in the log for a proposed airliner show to be held that July at a hotel adjacent to Cincinnati Airport. About 60 people showed up, recalled Collins, and we had a pretty good time swapping and displaying airline memorabilia. None of us back then had any idea of what we were starting. From that meager beginning evolved Airliners International, a yearly convention that has become the Super Bowl of enthusiast shows for those in search of every imaginable form of air transport memorabilia, bought, sold, traded, and on display are a myriad of airline photos, postcards, slides, videos, and models, plus the more traditional airline collectibles like swizzle sticks, playing cards, luggage tags and stickers, timetables, kitty wings, china, glass and silverware, menus, uniforms and badges, books, in-flight magazines, brochures, advertisements, etc. Even some unlikely examples such as seat pocket emergency cards and air sick bags. The club has grown too. A 501c3 nonprofit organization, it was long ago renamed the World Airline Historical Society, more closely recognizing its purpose. Our quarterly journal, The Captain's Log, is a wealth of information on the history of commercial aviation with columns, articles, and other electronic media. While many members are airline employees, there are quite a few who are not. Our founder, Paul Collins himself, was working for the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad when he formed the club and retired from its successor company, CSX Transportation. By the way, you can find the Captain's Log on the net at wahsonline.com. Steve, over to you.
Yes, thanks, Shay. So in order to get a bigger draw for the first gathering, members of the Ontario Aviation Enthusiast were invited to attend, and several of that group offered to host another show at Toronto the following summer. But from that point on, attendees began voting for future site locations, usually at a hotel close to the airport. Airliners International became the official name a few years later and matured into a three-day affair beginning on a Thursday in June or July, opened by a cocktail party hosted by President Paul Collins and the Society. Fully registered attendees enjoyed an exclusive session in the huge display hall Thursday afternoon, where exhibitors put out their wares for all to see. On Friday, the hall is open to the public as well, and the room quickly fills with those eager to buy, sell, or trade their specialties, which to the layman might have been relegated to the attic or garbage long ago. Little do some realize that the old plastic model airliner kit bought in the 1950s for $1.98 can now bring in excess of $200, provided it is in mint condition and still in the originally packaged box, unassembled. Throughout the hall, one can enjoy pursuing the history of commercial aviation in hundreds of different forms. As trading and selling picks up steam, continuous slide and video shows begin in adjoining meeting rooms, while entries for model, slide, and photo contests are logged in and put on display. Outside buses began loading for tours of local airline-related attractions, such as museums, airline training and maintenance centers, and airport photo tours. Especially in recent years, tours have been scheduled earlier in the convention week to accommodate additional customers. The real hardcore trainer remains in the hotel, not wanting to pass up on further transactions. The display hall remains open throughout the day, closing at dinner time to allow those vendors a short break. Friday evenings can be unstructured, except for the airliner slide auction, which can be quite spirited among the photographers and collectors. Back to Shay.
Then it's time to get down to business. For many years on Saturday morning, we've gathered together for the official business meeting at the start of the day. There is one primary item on the agenda, future site selection. Club members have the opportunity to make pitches for each of the candidate cities, followed by a brief question and answer session. Balloting follows. As convention size and necessary planning time increase, the policy of voting 2 years in advance was adopted. A good deal of walk-in traffic appears on Saturday. Visitors learn of the convention through local media and hobby outlets. Contest judging commences, slideshows continue, and in the trenches, last-minute specials are offered by vendors. The challenge for the vendors now is to try to go home with less merchandise than they brought, which I can tell you is difficult. Deals are offered usually by those who don't want to carry home items they brought. By now, most have accumulated equal or greater amounts, including a souvenir booty bag provided by the registration and containing numerous handouts, plus a convention program, official logo baggage sticker, and a set of metal pilot's wings designed uniquely for each show. Steve?
Thank you, Jay. So everyone cleans up on Saturday evening up for the awards banquet, highlighted by the announcement of contest winners and a guest speaker. Also featured are door prize drawings and some unique competitions. During the Name the Plane event, images are projected showing minute portions of airliners, often taken from within the aircraft, to test those expertise of the most enthusiastic buffs. The winner generally gets around 14 of 20 correct, a respectable score in view of the fact that some images only show the very tip of a wing or an aircraft shadow outline. The written trivia quiz follows a mind bender conducted while dinner is being served. The banquet's conclusion marks the end of another convention and can be a bit of a letdown. People really get into it here, said a regular attendee. It's easy to get depressed afterwards, realizing you've got to wait another year for the big one. As a spinoff from Airliners International, local groups stage similar but smaller shows throughout the year, which does provide some relief. By Sunday morning, most everyone scatters to the four corners of the world. However, a select group remains briefly for breakfast together. Delegates who have attended every convention, only two people still qualify, join past, present, and future hosts and hostesses to toast those who have worked so hard to make it happen. Then they do too disperse, and Airliners International finally closes out. Just as a reminder to those that are unfamiliar with where it's been the last 5 years, in 2012 it was in Memphis, Tennessee. 2013 was in Cleveland, Ohio. 2014 brought Los Angeles, California. And in 2015 was at the Delta Flight Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. 2016 brought it down south to the Big Easy, to New Orleans, Louisiana. And last year, it was in Denver, Colorado. Just as a reminder, this year is in Washington, D.C., at the DoubleTree Crystal City, July 11th to the 14th. And for those that are really long-term planners, 2019 will be in Atlanta, Georgia, back at the Delta Airlines Museum. Back to you, Dorothy.
Yes, a question. There are several questions you might want to answer for our listeners, one of which is a question asked by each of our online hosts. What is the World Airline Historical Society?
I can take that, Dorothy. Historically, the World Airline Historical Society has been the world's largest organization focused on memorabilia from commercial airlines, aircraft, airports, and the memorabilia that tells the story of commercial flight. In the private collections of its members, you will find the most comprehensive archives of commercial aviation history in North America, probably more than in any single museum.
Thanks. Who can become a member then?
Membership in the WAHS is open to anyone with an aviation interest.
Do you charge a membership fee for that?
Not at this time. And actually, membership includes a free subscription to the scholarly journal, The Captain's Log, in electronic form, published quarterly. It's an in-depth review of commercial aviation collectibles and is quite extensive. Section editors are recognized as authorities in their respective areas. As mentioned earlier, our website is wahsonline.com.
Now, Shay, the cost of the airliner's convention, I think, probably has different rates. What is the registration fee?
I'm going to give that one over to Steve as co-chair. He's more conversant with it than I am these days.
Yes. So, essentially, for $60, which is the basic registration package, that includes admission for the 3 days for the collectible show, which is on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Also includes the welcome party, which is on Thursday evening. And it also allows those who want to participate in the tours an opportunity to be able to sign up for those. If you're interested in the Saturday night gala banquet, that is a $100 registration. It is available. And, you know, the gala banquet, as you remember, includes the guest speaker and other activities.
Now, or do you mail out these registration forms, or do you have to go online? We have some of our listeners who aren't really savvy online, so how will they go about doing this?
Yep, so I can answer that. So essentially, it can be done online if you want, but for those that are not that savvy, as I can understand, online registration forms are available. You can go to, and I'll say it out here for you, it's HTTPS, and then colon, and two backslashes, and then it's events.r2o.constantcontact.com. /register-event, EVENTREG. From there, it will get you to a form that you can print out, and then the address is on that form where you can then send it to our registration area, which then it will be processed if you do send it through the mail, which is perfectly fine.
Well, that's
and is
really
that Carolina's
great.
International, I'm sorry to interrupt, is that Airliners what? International online? Or airlinersinternational.org, Steve?
Yes, sir. Yes, so it's airlinersinternational.org is the website for the show this year and gives you all the information from, you know, from the tours through the program to the registration to the hotel booking engine for the DoubleTree, as well as breaking news when we are, like, releasing tours here very, you know, this week, as well as it has other tidbits of information regarding, you know, how to fly in, you know, to what airports. And so there are three airports that you can fly into this year. But all that information is available. And then the registration form can be done electronically through the airlinersinternational.org website as well.
Well, thanks, Steve, very much. And just for our listeners, I do have that information up on the our website for any of our members that go into there. They'll link it right to your website. Another question, Steve or Shay, whichever, how do we become a vendor at this?
Yep, so I can answer that. So essentially, as of right now, we are selling table space, both island tables and wall tables, in the Washington Ballroom, which is the smaller. It's the 6,000-square-foot ballroom. We have two ballrooms that we are currently working out of. The first ballroom is already completely sold out. It's 10,000 square feet. It's called the Crystal Ballroom. But the Washington Ballroom is still has available space. And if we need more space after that, we do have available breakout rooms that we can still use. But what you can do is the person's name you would want to speak to in regards to becoming a vendor is Chris Slimmer. And I will be happy to give you his email address at the end of the show. I can forward it to you, and you can add it to the website if that makes it the easiest for you. But he is the one that's in charge of the vendors.
Great, thank you. And there is a vendor fee, I would imagine, correct?
There is, that's correct. And that information is available on the registration form. And then you also are allowed to have one table helper. As you know, sometimes, like when you're wanting to, you know, go around and see what is it somebody might have, you are allowed to have one table helper to, you know, man your table while you're going to find maybe that next, you know, goodie bag or wings or what have you. So, but yeah, that information is available on the registration form as well, in addition to all the registration for the convention in itself.
Right. Now, do you have to pay for that fee for a helper like that? I would imagine you probably
do. You do.
Along
the table
with the
helper
table
fee
and chairs too?
That's correct. So the island and wall tables have two different prices. The island tables are $55 per table, and they are 6x30. And then the wall tables are $65, just because they do include more space, and they are the same, you know, the same table size, the 6x30. You know, there's no limit as to the number of tables that you could get. I mean, if you want to have 20, you can get 20. If you want to get one, you can get one. But yes, that is correct.
We supply the tables and chairs themselves, you know, once you've purchased.
Right.
Great, great. That's really great to know. I'm sure a lot of our listeners, that's the first thing you think of, do they have tables and chairs, how we get them there. So that's wonderful to hear. Now, you have a list of board of directors. Could you please tell us about that?
I actually don't have the list in front of me. And, Steve, do you?
But I can tell you, I do know who it is right off the top of my head.
Chris Slimmer is president, and it's a total of six.
Chris Slimmer is the president.
There's a total of six members of the board of directors, which is what's required under Florida state law for a 501c3. Generally, our directors are people that some of them have had airline background, have worked for the airline. Some of them have not. You have a combination of officers and trustees at large, which is basically what Steve and I both are. I've been on the board now for close to 10 years. It is by election, as also part of Florida law. And as far as the names of the current six, Steve, can take that away. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, so we have Chris Slimmer, and we have myself, Steve McAdinch. We have, you know, Mr. Shea Oakley. We have Mr. Don Levine. We do have trustee Bill Demarest. We have Wally Wilson. And we have John Miller. And then we also are always welcome to, you know, anybody that is interested in, you know, running for election for the board of directors. You know, we're always, you know, welcome to that. But those are the list of the members that we have on the board of directors.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. Now, are there various chapters in the United States, or is it just this particular in Washington?
Not chapters as such, but we do have the earlier mentioned, Steve mentioned, local annual shows that are put on in a number of cities, like Atlanta, Chicago, L.A., Dallas, Newark. And they're put on by a combination of both members of the World Airline Historical Society and non-members. So while there aren't literally World Airline Historical Society chapters in each city, there are shows that we are affiliated with that are put on in a number of cities annually. Mini conventions, sort of, with the same kind of a aviation or airline flea market format.
Well, that's very good to hear, because sometimes you're not quite sure whether it's just a one-time thing or you can see it in local areas. So we're happy to hear about that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions from any of our guests that you would like to ask Shay or Steve?
Sure. I've already lined up a few of them here. First of all, Shay, Steve, thanks so much for the information.
Thank you.
And please tell us the dates of the convention again in Washington.
Yes, sir.
Steve.
So the convention itself is July 11th to the 14th of 2018. And the collectible show itself, if somebody is just wanting to go to the collectible show, it's on that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which would be the 12th, 13th, or the 14th. But most people and the tours itself, they start on Wednesday the 11th.
And did I miss the attendance to the conventions? Just how many people show up at these conventions, just kind of roughly?
Shay?
The national convention, we've had over 1,000, I think, on multiple occasions. Some of the smaller shows, 400 or so. I remember the first Newark show, we had 400. That was in 1989. It was a one-day show.
Wow. Do you find many airline employees that sign up to sell their collections from their spouses?
I've got
a big collection here. What the heck do I do with it?
Would I
be able to sign up for a booth
sure.
and sell what I have here, or my, I should say, if I leave? When I leave, I should say, not if, but when I leave, can my kids sign up to something like this and get rid of all the stuff they don't want?
Sure. I mean, you can sell it at a show, at one of the Airliners International shows. They're also on the World Airline Historical Society website. We also have a list of all the one-day shows in addition to the Airliners National show. And if you don't feel that you want to go to it like a flea market in the sort, you can also donate what you have to the World Airline Historical Society, and we will make sure that it gets sold and that all the benefits go to the family.
Okay.
We've done that on a number of occasions.
Wow.
Helped, you know, estates.
And if you donate it, can it be donated to the World Airline Historical Society?
It can be if you specify that, yes.
Okay.
Where are these displayed when they're shown in the World Airline Society?
Well, generally at the National Convention at Airliners International. Though sometimes I guess we've done that at regional shows too, Steve.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Yeah, it's, you know, literally on those tables, you know, those are the sales tables, and that's where the memorabilia is in great excess. There's thousands of items at these shows. It's amazing.
Our board is completely full, so I'm sure there are folks out there wanting to ask some questions. Please do so right now.
Well, I guess I got one. What would first class set of 10-11 seats in good shape sell for?
A few hundred dollars.
I paid $300 for them at that commercial on a blind auction. But I said
you would get more than that, I think. What era from the L-1011 are we talking about? Towards the end of its service or earlier on?
I don't know when it was. We had about
what color
30 of them, I think. Blue with a telephone in between them.
Okay, those are early. So yeah, you know, those are probably that pair is a good $500-$600 pair. Shoot, I'd be tempted myself.
They're
older.
I had
we'll talk after
for
the
them
show, Jim.
They fell over backwards.
Jim, you got to let go of them sooner or later.
Well, yeah. I'm going to keep those to the bitter end because I like to sit on them.
Yeah, they're comfortable.
I may have sat on one of those seats.
I may have too. But the telephone doesn't work very well.
You guys, have you ever had any representative to attend the big air shows such as Sun and Fun, which just recently ended in Lakeland, Florida, and Oshkosh? Of course, we all know Oshkosh, by gosh, and the big show of the Experimental Aircraft Association. You ever promote the show there or any of these air shows?
I can speak personally. I've been to Oshkosh 9 years in a row consecutively with my father and my son Cameron, and I do bring different paraphernalia, for the upcoming show, because Oshkosh is normally the last week in July, so that year's that current year's show has just ended, so we'd be on the path for the next year's show. But I do go around and people ask what are you about, and I'll tell them exactly, what I'm into, and I'll tell them about the show. So I do actively promote the Airliners International as well as the World Airline Historical Society, when I'm at Oshkosh. We're there for almost, for basically the whole week and such. So,
wow.
People will ask, sitting there at lunch, what's the website? And they'll pull up the website on their phone while we're having lunch. So, yeah, actively promote. So.
Excellent.
Very good.
I'm glad you're there, Steve. Because that really is an important place to promote.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member of the Florida Aviation Historical Society, and pretty much headquartered in the Tampa, Sarasota area, or St. Pete area. And the folks there, have you ever contacted or do you know about the Florida Aviation Historical Society, Steve, or Shay?
Well, Bill Demarest, one of our board members, lives right in the Tampa, St. Pete area, and I know he was involved with the small museum at, I believe, St. Petersburg Airport, where they had an old Convair and a small museum with a lot of national memorabilia, because National had its start there. I don't know if that is part of the Florida Aviation Historical Society or if it just happens to be in the same city. Are you,
it just happens
you know,
to be
you know?
In the same area, yes.
Okay, so they're not associated with each other.
Yeah, they have a great newsletter that is headed up and has been written about, well, a little bit longer than I've been on this radio show, but for years and years, Dr. Warren Brown has been the editor of their newsletter, and it's really a great newsletter. It comes out once a month, and they have places or they have information in there about different shows about like your what you're talking about tonight. And you might want to contact Warren, and I'll send you, Shay, the contact email to get in touch with Warren. Because I'm
yeah,
sure
do.
You'd like
I'd like to join
promote
that organization.
That. Yeah. Are
yeah,
you a member of it?
I'm not. I'd like to become one. We have a tendency to you know, be more conversant with the other specifically airline-related publications and organizations
yeah.
and companies and things like that. But, you know, general aviation historical societies, from what you're talking about right up to, I guess, the American Aviation Historical Society, we could certainly have some cross-pollination with them, Steve, don't you think?
I do. I agree.
Yeah.
Would here's just something popped up into my mind. Would a person find anything related to military aviation at
Absolutely.
The convention?
Yeah, I would say probably about, I don't know, Steve, would you say maybe 5%, something like that, in
yeah.
military?
I mean, that's a really good, that's a great number. I mean, it's sometimes it's also there might be somebody that's just solely dedicated, somebody that's new to the you know to the Airliners International show, and they could bring a whole you know three tables worth of stuff. So I mean it's you know 5% would be you know would be a good you know would be a good number, but sometimes it could be a little higher because you just don't know, somebody could come here with a big surprise and have tables worth of it.
Yep, that's true. And then there are people that have mostly airline stuff, but have some military material mixed in.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. I have a stamp. And it was the first aviation stamp issued by the whoever issues stamps, I guess, the post office of aviation. It was an aviation stamp, and it's dated back in the 20s. And a good friend of mine, the late Admiral John Engle, who was an employee of Eastern Airlines and a hero of World War II, but he gave me that stamp. And are there stamp collectors out there that would be interested in something like that?
We don't see a lot of stamps. What we do see are a lot of airmail labels that the airlines produce themselves with the various
right.
logos. In fact, that's a whole segment of the hobby, which in some cases involves very valuable, you know, incredibly rare airmail, airline airmail stickers from, you know, some airline that was around for 2 years in 1925 and 26 or something, and they put out, you know, 200 of these things, and it's going for $400 or something. But then you've got other, you know, the airlines for years put out those kinds of stickers. But as far as U.S. mail stamps, rarely at these shows.
Well, I think I might be able to find someone that might want to buy this stamp for $1 million, and I can leave most of it to my grandchildren. But
Dorothy, write him a check.
Yeah, there you go. Guys,
there are aviation organizations that handle that kind of thing, though. I mean, I'm sure that there is an aviation stamp collecting organization out there somewhere. Probably a Google search would find it.
Very good. Very good. Well, Dorothy?
Yes. We would love to have you join us after the fact of the convention and tell us all that went on. So be sure to keep that in mind, Shay, and Steve, that when you're done with all of this, We'd like a good report on that because we're always interested in aviation and airlines and any of the news that you folks bring to us. It was a great show this evening, very interesting, and you answered a lot of the questions that I had as well as others, so that was an important thing. We do have your, as I mentioned, your information up on the website under our travel, and it lists, it has like hyperlinks that go to your registration form so they can go right to your site. It has the dates. It has a link to the hotel reservations as well as the timetable. Now, the timetable you folks have is excellent on your website. My goodness, it fills in every single detail. And so I have a link that goes to that for anyone to go in and see. That way, if they're on our website, they can go right in there and they don't have to worry about where or what. But I will put your website address on there, and if you send me Chris his website also, I can put that on there.
Certainly.
It's been a joy. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for allowing us to talk about this passion of ours.
Definitely. I agree.
You're welcome. Very, very much.
Well it's a passion of so many.
Steve?
Yeah. Jim,
Steve,
go ahead.
Jim here. Yeah, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I believe I sent Jay a comp copy of the Repartee magazine, and I would like to, did I not do that, Jay? Do you remember?
No, I would love that. But also, I did tell you I was going to sign up as an associate member, and I've been a deadbeat not getting a check out to you.
Maybe that's what it was. Well, anyhow.
Yeah, that's probably. It's
an affiliate member, and if you do join, I'll send you a package of the current magazine and a few old ones. And, Steve, the same applies to you. If you want to join REPA as an affiliate member,
definitely.
We'd love to have you. It's $35, and you get a magazine. And you also
Fine,
can
certainly.
Come to our
I'd
convention
to.
In September at the Francis Marin in Charleston, South Carolina. But the magazine tells you all about that. But anyhow.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Neil, can how do you go about giving them my email address? Can I just give it to them? What?
Oh,
I
yeah,
need their
give it to them. The whole world.
Okay.
We've got listeners right, in China and Russia listening.
Oh, for God's sake. I ain't going to give them that. I'll have them. Hey, Dorothy, can you somehow send these two gentlemen my email address?
I will definitely.
And they can send me their mailing
that.
Address.
There you go.
Certainly, I'll be happy to.
No problem. I'll take care of it, Jim. I'll send it to Shay and to Steve so they both
Thank
have
you.
It. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dorothy.
I just see the Chinese
golly.
Calling me.
Great. Great stuff tonight, guys. It was really very, very
Excellent.
Interesting. And it makes me want to see if I can figure out a time in my schedule to come up to Washington. I've been up there since Eastern hired me and sent me there because that was my first domicile in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And, boy, wouldn't that be nice to go back and revisit Washington and actually out in Virginia. Annandale,
sure
Virginia
changed.
Is where I live.
Oh, it has.
Sure has changed, I'm sure. But,
well, we're right
Crystal
next
City,
to National Airport.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Wow, what a pleasure it was to fly to that airport, too. And great guys to fly with. And wonderful, wonderful
Yeah, we used to love
that,
to make that visual river approach coming in down the river.
Oh, yeah.
That screaming hard turn at the last minute, just opposite to the Washington Monument and line up at the runway. And it was fun. And
here's a trivia question, Jim Holder. Here's a trivia question, Jim Holder. What was the airport just across the Potomac River from Washington National? Bowling Field.
Bowling Field.
That's correct, yeah.
My dad worked
there. Oh, okay. Very good. Very
what
good.
Steve,
call
your
now.
Dad worked there?
He did. He worked at Bowling Air Force Base. He also worked in the Navy Yard. He worked for the Department of Defense. And so I was actually just up in the D.C. area at Gravelly Point last weekend watching the planes fly right over my head and doing that big bank turn by the Washington Monument.
Wasn't there a Hoover airport prior to Washington National? somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Washington, Hoover.
It was terrible. I want to ask Chuck Albright, the maintenance guy. Chuck, you're standing by. And
yes, I am.
Have any questions about anything related to maintenance at the convention?
I was thinking, he's talking about the different parts that you can get from vendors. My question is, I guess some of the parts are small, but how large a part have you seen in a vendor that you could actually buy, from an aircraft?
Well, besides the seats, I think I've seen a Convair 80 throttle quadrant, pretty much the center quadrant was for sale in one of these things at some point. How about you, Steve? What do you remember in the parts department?
I've seen windows. I've seen throttle cables. I've seen landing gear pins. I've seen, many a seat belt. Extenders. I've seen the overhead storage. Like one compartment of an overhead storage on a couple of Piedmont 73-200s.
Oh my! Mm.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
There you go.
Almost what, 3 feet or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I was just curious. I've gone to some of these shows, and most of it's just table stuff that you could put in a ditty bag and carry out of the place. But then you started talking about seats, and I was thinking, boy, a seat's awful big to get out of one of these convention places.
Ship it in the cargo.
It is. We now have either UPS or FedEx on site to help people with shipping oversized items. Which one are we using this year, Steve?
We're using FedEx, and they usually will start coming in on Thursday afternoon, and they're there on Thursday, till the end of the show day. They're there Friday, and then they're there usually limitedly on Saturday. But they have everything that's necessary to mail anything you want. If you just want to mail your box of goodies home, so be it. If you want to mail some seats or a boarding gate, or boarding gate sign, that they've got the means necessary to get it done.
Excellent.
That's terrific.
It is definitely.
I picked up an Eastern boarding gate sign at the last Washington show that we did, actually.
2006.
Which happened to have Sarasota on it, which is where we flew Eastern when I was growing up the most. So that was a real find for me. That was $125 for that.
Ideal.
It sounds like to me, guys, that anytime you go on a commercial aircraft, you ought to get anything's not nailed down. Because
there's less and less. That's the problem.
In the future, it might be worth some money.
There's no more timetables. There's no more ticket folders. Everything's going electronic. There's very little left to collect these days, especially with the U.S. domestic carriers. It's a little different with some of the foreign carriers. They still have stuff. But the amount of material that's had an airline logo posted on it and the variety of material in the last 100 years of commercial flight is just staggering. I've been doing this since I was 16. I went to my first national convention in St. Louis. My mom took me. And every show I see something I haven't seen before. There's just, it's endless with the amount of history we have in the last century.
Another interesting addition that I have this year, too, is commonly when we go to these different shows, my dad and my son Cameron, we have to hop in an airplane, usually from Richmond or D.C., what have you. But this year, my mother and my wife and all the rest of my children get to see what our Super Bowl of shows is like. And my mom and my wife have no idea what it's about. We always tell them and they see pictures, but they have no clue. And they're going to be part of the show staff this year of helping out. So I think they're going to get the dry run pretty quickly. And we're going to put them in the fire and have them doing everything we can think of, because there's a lot of things that go into this whole show.
It's a lot of work.
Well,
that's great, Steve.
Do you have all volunteers that help out like that?
We do. We have a number of people that, you know, they'll come up and say, hey, you know, do you need any help? Or, hey, I'd love to help out. And I'm not going to, and nobody ever says no. And then we also have some, you know, that are, you know, commonly, you know, do it every single year. And, you know, some of the members of the board, like Wally Wilson and John Miller and Shay, you know, as well, you know, they always, you know, pitch in and help out where's needed. And then we have, you know, other, you know, like my son Cameron, he'll, you know, if somebody needs help, they will, he'll run down, you know, to get somebody from the front desk if we need a pen or something or we're, or needed something. So, and my dad as well, my dad will help out and, you know, and always provide some sort of assistance. So it's interesting. It's like a family affair, let's say.
Well, there's so much airline enthusiasts out there, so I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about the show, go ahead.
Well, I've got a suggestion for Jim Holder at the REPA convention coming up in September. Maybe we can get these folks to bring some of the stuff to the show. I'm sure it would add a lot of interest.
Well, you know, what we've done the last 2 years, we've had auctions. And I don't mean silent auction. I mean the hollering kind. And we've had Boeing 720 plate of plaques that won a Boeing 720 and glasses and silverware and all that kind of stuff. And Karen and I talk about downsizing, so I think I'm going to bring some of my plaques and some of that stuff down there to Charleston, and we're going to have that at the banquet on the last night.
Great.
And raise money for REPA.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's right up our alley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, Shay and Steve, you're both welcome to attend our convention in September, and Jim,
I'd
tell us
love,
a
I would
about
love to
that.
Get the information.
Yes,
yeah,
and we're also going to have. Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say I'll send them this year's last year's magazine, and then it's probably going to come out the end of May, and I can send them that magazine too, and then they will know all about it.
Perfect.
We only do one magazine a year now.
Thank you for the invite.
Very good. And they have a great time sharing stories such as we've heard tonight. And
right, they're going to have Neil's Hall of Fame, too.
Oh,
so that's going to be exciting.
That's a big event.
Yes.
Is that your official installation? Neil, do you get officially installed at that convention? Is that where that happened?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's the procedure. Jim Holder is a Hall of Fame recipient. I don't know about how it works. Well, I do a little bit.
Yeah, you get a plaque and somebody makes a nice speech about you, and then you get to get up and tell everybody how wonderful you were.
Will I be permitted a couple of words?
Yes, we insist on it. And,
I remember
as long as you want.
When Bill Malone was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I think it was about a half hour.
Yeah, it was on a cruise.
Half hour. Yeah. Yeah, it was on the cruise.
Carnival
cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we've had we've had a great time tonight. And it's been a pleasure to have both you, Shay and Steve, with us tonight. Hope you, Steve, will come back to our radio show because it's been so interesting to find out about this particular convention. I don't think many people know about that. We're going to try to spread the word a little bit about it on a website, right, Dorothy?
Yes, I have it on the homepage, and it will link you right into the page where all the information is, which will link it to their website, Neil, so that they can go there and see all the information like what I saw, because their timetable of all the events are incredible to see. They have a list of the tours and different things like that. So their website is just phenomenal with all the information that they have. You don't find many of that sort of thing out there when people are holding events like this, but I was amazed at how much is in there, not just a short description, but every single thing, which I really commend you for. That was a great website.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
You know, I bet I could find some information about Imperial Airlines.
The predecessor of BOAC?
No, it was kind of an airline that existed only on in Cockroach Corner, in the northwest corner of the Miami International Airport.
I remember that.
What was
had
that, Jim?
Had a bad crash in Richmond. I said they flew Connie's. Yeah. Had a bad crash in Richmond.
There you go. There you go.
Co-pilot I flew with a long time ago. We used to work for him, and we talked about that crash.
Yeah, almost got a job with him, but I didn't. But at any rate, lots of history, and it's interesting that so many people enjoy. You know, the history of airlines in general, and then we have a wonderful organization, the World Airline Historical Society, that has a, you know, information about all the airlines, I guess.
Yes.
Right.
Throughout the world and throughout the last century of commercial flight. It's actually more than a century now, I think.
Wonderful. Again, thanks so much, Shay and Steve, for being with us tonight. And hopefully we can do some more in the future. And got a couple of announcements to make. First of all,
Okay,
go ahead, Dorothy, with yours, and then I'll put mine behind yours. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Okay, I have one. A news flash, everyone. Dynamic International Airways revises scheduled ops plans by www.chsasaviation.com. And this is Dynamic International Airways. Now, of course, we know it as Eastern Airlines. 2D in Greensboro has amended previously announced plans to offer scheduled service between the United States and China in favor of flights to South America. Sounds like the Eastern route. In a filing to the U.S. Department of Transportation, the DOT, seeking to endorse its claim to substantial fitness, the carrier said it would offer scheduled flights between New York JFK and Georgetown Chetty Jagan in Guyana using its fleet of B-767s. No commencement dates have yet been given in the light of the ongoing regulatory proceedings. As you know, the Dynamic has exited Chapter 11. We have that information on our website a couple of weeks ago, and they changed their legal name to Eastern Airlines. So in the process of adopting the Eastern Airlines, they now have sought to have this schedule change. So we're very happy to read that for sure. There's more on our Eastern Airlines, Eastern Dynamic tab on our website, so be sure to go there and see all the different comments that we had on Facebook. Neil, you want me to go on with some announcements? Did you want to talk about this?
First of all, Dorothy, it's great that you're keeping all of our Eastern family posted on the events that are taking place almost quite rapidly about Eastern Airlines and trying to get it back in the air again, at least the familiar logo that we know for so long, trying to get it back in the air again. So you're going to keep us all informed, Dorothy. Thanks so much. Go ahead, Dorothy.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I've got a son in go ahead and tell us about the website and future shows, and then I want to make a final announcement about the show that I just attended. Go ahead, Dorothy.
All right. We have the Eastern Brats coming up, and please, everyone, if your children or you as an Eastern Brat, we'd love to have all of you, and please let us know so we can put you on our schedule. It's coming up on April 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, following which we'll have EAL's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and that will be UFOs, and that's going to be another quite interesting show. We have the episode this week, a new series that Neil is going to be doing on Thursdays, and that's The Adventures of Sky King. So that's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to hear that one. And following that, there's a lot of breaking news on the website that we had on there tonight. There's some videos on one of the items that we talked about, and there's information, as I mentioned, on the comments from Facebook on Eastern Airlines and Dynamic. There's quite a bit of controversy on the Facebook website. It's always interesting to listen to what our Eastern people are talking about. So go back to you, Neil. Go right ahead.
Okay, just got back from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. Wonderful time. Wonderful get-together with not only my family, my brother and I visit this once a year, and we thoroughly enjoyed this year's air show at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. If you've never been to one, I highly recommend it. All those people that are in the Florida area, you need to go to the air show, usually in April, and I had the privilege of being there among a lot of Eastern folks, and especially one Eastern employee, fellow colleague, Captain Eston Fuller, and he really showed me the show with the golf cart that he had access to at the Sun and Fun. He took me all over the flight line, seeing all these interesting airplanes, and I had the privilege after we did that to sit and have an interview with Eston. I did a 53-minute interview with Eston Fuller, and we're going to play that in a very soon to be announced episode. I don't know whether it's going to be on a Thursday. Probably on a Thursday. But then again, might be on a Monday evening. That interview, it's a wonderful interview with Eston Fuller, Captain Eston Fuller, former Eastern Airlines employee. So it was wonderful. And by the way, Linda.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I've heard of him.
You've heard of him.
He's in here. And he's listening to you, and he's thinking, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know this was going to happen."
Well, you tell Eston that you thank goodness you prop him up.
No pun intended.
Yeah, there you go. No pun intended. Very good.
He said you need to do a lot of editing on that. I don't know, but
no. No, we. I think it was all very, very, very good. Wonderful stories by Eston Fuller. And a couple of guys that I would always turn to here for great interviews. One is Eston Fuller, and the other one is Jim Holder,
yeah,
who's with us tonight on our show. We listen to Jim a lot on our broadcast.
Yeah.
But I can always depend on some good stories from those two guys.
Yeah, Jim Holder is a natural. He's just a natural.
Natural what?
Natural.
Aviators
good
love
stories. Telling good stories. Yeah.
Well,
could I just ask? Could I go back and ask Shay and Steve something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Nobody ever brings their flight bags, do they, to sell them?
Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, flight bags.
Yeah,
I've seen them many times, but I mean, yeah, big time. I've seen many of them.
Yeah, flight bags are a major thing. And in fact, I had sort of a flight bag fetish for a couple of years there, where I was buying a lot of flight bags, a lot of Eastern flight bags, actually. Yeah, the old vinyl flight bags are back in style. You know, they're like
that's
a pop culture item.
Oh, that's all right.
Kind of sad that they would, you know, turn them over, I think, kind of sad. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them were sold through the in-flight catalogs, you know, like the Jet Shopper that Eastern had, you know. So it's in some cases it's people that, you know, it wasn't a flight crew.
Okay.
If you were talking about purely flight crew bags, you see them, but less often. Less often, because like you say, they're not handed over easily, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so personal. Yeah.
Mine was called Pac-Man flight bag, and I did a story on that, and I included it in the stories of Wings of Many, and one of the stories that was in the book, Wings of Many, and part one. We have part two almost, well, we've got some more stories that we're putting in it, but in part one, we did a story on flight bags. Airline flight bags, and I call mine Pac-Man because I had a little button that was a Pac-Man, you know, with the jaws grabbing back and forth. And when I swung my bag, it created the effect of Pac-Man, the one of the very first applications of games, I guess, on the internet, but I always enjoyed that.
Steve, you haven't seen
Pac-Man
pilots.
First year at college.
Let's see. Okay. Shay, go ahead.
I was just asking Steve. Steve, you haven't seen too many, like, pilots' flight bags or that kind of thing at these shows, have you?
I did see one when I was at the One Day Dallas show in March. Funny enough, I don't know why, but I see a lot more of those at the one day shows than at the big show. I don't know why, but I mean, it's few and far between. You see a lot more of the more collectible flight bags than anything, but the pilot bags, those are ones that are big, huge keepsakes that are very, you know, true treasures.
Yeah. Jim Holder, did you have a comment?
Well, I just said my son majored in Pac-Man the first year in college. It's all about Pac-Man. I was paying him to play Pac-Man for a whole year, but he turned out all right.
he sure did.
I'm proud of my son.
An honor.
We sure are. And I think I made that announcement last show about your son, Jim Holder.
Oh, about Mike. Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, he made full colonel.
Fantastic.
He got out of college after about 6 years, I think, and been hell on the wheels ever since. But proud of the boy.
Congratulations, Jim.
Congratulations.
Well, if you can invite him to our Brat show, we'd love to have him. Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's been to conventions, and he's been to all of these things, you know. And he's a busy man nowadays.
I'm sure he's a busy man in the Air Force. And but he's invited to be among the brats that we will have on our, I think it's our next show, right, Dorothy?
Yes, it is. Yeah. April 23rd show.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the Brat show.
Well, he's out on
the Osprey again in Albuquerque. I'll see if I can get him to call in.
Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be great.
How is that? That's so nice.
Well, about this time, we will put Flight 361 on the ground gently, Captain Steve. To tune in again next Monday at 7 p.m. when Eastern Flight 362 will be taxiing from the gate and another great adventure. That's our show for tonight, folks. And thank you, Shay and Steve, for being with us tonight. We thank all of those participating in tonight's broadcast, and especially our listeners. And with this, we take a line from the Lake Wobegon stories. And that would be that where all the Eastern women are unequaled, all the Eastern men are good looking, and all the Eastern children and Eastern grandchildren are way above average. And until then, again,
good night,
we love you, Eastern.
Love you.
Bye,
good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Shay. Thanks, Shay, Steve.
You're
thank
welcome.
You,
thank
Take
you
care.
Very much for having me.
Good show, Neil. Good show.
Great. Then our pleasure.
So informative.